Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. I'm Gus Bird, sitting here with...
Raphael.
Pastor.
Oh.
Doctorate in training. welcome to More Than That, where we give the pastor, the preacher, another opportunity to touch on something from the previous Sunday. This last Sunday's sermon was on... My Sin Behind His Back. It's another part in our It Is Finished series, and I was looking forward to this conversation because it's one that I haven't heard talked much about. You hear a lot about your sin being on Jesus or on the cross, but this concept of it being behind is pretty new, at least to me. So the question we often that we start off with is, Pastor, if you had 10 more minutes with your church, what would you share with them?
So this whole concept of, I think I keep like looking and wanting people to really, really understand, like, why we're even going into this series, just simply because of just things like that. We are looking, and when we're saying Christ has come and he's fulfilled all the promises of what of the Old Testament, the promises, he's dealt with our sins in all these little kind of ways that, like, you see in the Old Testament, what is it that he has done? So just really, like, I think with this one, I got excited about this one because, Sam Storms is the one who really highlighted on this, and I was like, wow, that's a very rich theme. I would have spent a little bit more time just really just asking people, yes, read the New Testament, but also make sure you're reading the Old Testament. And as you read, keep asking yourself, how are the New Testament writers? Like, because for them, there's almost like a very, in Christ, there's a continuity. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a continuity, but a discontinuity of some sort. Discontinuity in the fact that the New Testament is the New Covenant, but there's a continuity in the fact that, like, the New Testament writers are not making this stuff from scratch. Mm-hmm. They're going and they're taking these themes back from the Old Testament so that when you're reading Ephesians chapter 2, mm-hmm. and I hope you've kind of seen this. Like, I think I would have highlighted even more of, like, what I've done the past couple of weeks is actually, like, pick up a theme in the New Testament. Like, you know, 1 Peter, where it says we have inexpressible joy.
Right.
And then go back in the Old Testament to show, like, for example, Psalm 32, how joyful are they whose sins are forgiven, right? And then you go even, like, for example, like 1 Peter 2:24, he bore our sins. Mm-hmm. And then you go and you see, like, Isaiah is saying that he was wounded for our transgressions. You go into the New Testament. Last week, I think I really looked as well. Eddie is kind of just like looking at, like, you know, us being made clean, mm-hmm. how Christ actually fulfills that. And then when you come to this one, we were dead in our sins, mm-hmm. you know, and God being rich in mercy. And then you go back to, like, at least like one of the passages, Isaiah is going to be very good at actually picking some of these themes. So the Psalms are the most quoted book in the Bible, in the New Testament. Isaiah is also another most quoted, mm-hmm. as well. So when you look now, you begin to see For example, the Valley of Dry Bones, mm-hmm. or even just like Hezekiah is on death's doors, and then he's saying that God, because of God's what, steadfast love, that's how he got rescued. So, yeah, I would just really just spend a little bit more time. That's one of the things that's just blowing my mind even now when I'm reading. I'm reading through the book of Acts right now, and I'm just watching them just basically like, I was reading today, like Paul in Acts chapter 13, where he's drawing back. Mm-hmm. They're explaining the resurrection of Jesus by picking up, for example, he was quoting Psalm 16, mm-hmm. the same passage that Peter quoted in Acts chapter 2, like, you know, this is the one who was promised death will not corrupt him. Mm-hmm. You know, he has risen from the dead. They're using Old Testament kind of like ways to explain that. So there's that. And then, but like also my other thing, I just like the most exciting thing about this last week's sermon was just wanting to paint even a vivid picture of like, man, can you just imagine this? Like, you know, there's your sin, and God stands in between. Mm. And like, usually, like, what are we most aware of? Psalm 51 says we're so aware of our sins.
Right.
Like, when you think about God and your relation with God, what's the first thing that comes in the middle?
Mm. Your sins.
And how much of a screw up I am and all that stuff. But like, when you start looking at this, like, you look at Hezekiah's prayer there, like in verse 17. Like, he just basically says that, like, he is face to face with me, mm-hmm. not face to face with my sins. Mm-hmm. Like, and so just like for me, it's just the whole exciting thing about like what reality that unlocks mm-hmm. in Jesus. That like, if now, what does God see? So now I need to see myself the way he sees me, which is now like he paints that picture. I use the prodigal son, puts his, you know, robe of righteousness and the signet ring. And so what does he see? He sees Christ's righteousness. Mm-hmm. How come I don't see that? That's now like where I think I'd spend a little bit more time just teasing like, man, what is it that we see? Our main issue is always that like, and I'm just so aware of that. Every time I think about relating to God, I first of all just think about why it's so hard to relate with him, because I'm so conscious of my own sin. Mm-hmm. But yet at the same time, what is God so conscious of when he's relating to me? That scripture says my sins are behind his back. Right. So if it's a very anthropomorphic language, what you put your back to, if it's like it's behind him, so like, that's not like, he's not walking backwards towards me. He's walking, you know what I mean? Like, so he has restored us to a face-to-face relationship. And, you know, one of the things that, like, it popped in my mind, I don't know why I didn't mention that. He says that, like, if you remember very well, like, Moses relates to God with God. Moses and then, I think Moses and then also relates to God as a friend, mm-hmm. right? And God says, I talk to him almost face-to-face.
Right.
Like, and everybody else can't even relate with him because they're so aware of how much they're sinners. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're like, no, Moses, from now onwards, you talk to him. We just won't even talk to him, right? And then God says, no one will see my face and leave. Mm-hmm. But now, 2 Corinthians 3:18 said, now we can now relate to God with unveiled faces. Face to face with God, no longer needing, because what? Because now the righteousness of God clothes us in such a way now we can literally just be able to like, we can relate with him, man, like in his glory, but because of Christ. And so what is that a license of? So what I was just really thinking about is just the whole, all the themes of Christ, like he who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Mm.
Like John 8:36. I was thinking about that. I was like, free indeed for what? We usually look at free indeed from our sin.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also thinking of it now, like if we look at it from this way, free indeed to literally roam around the mansion of God, mm-hmm. and experience of like, what else is in here? Like,
yeah.
It's like taking a kid to a water park.
Mm-hmm.
You are free to go in. But what does that kid do? They just go and they're like, I want to try that slide. I want to try that slide. I want to try that. I want to try, you know. I took my kids to a water park last week. And the last thing they wanted to try, like my son wanted to try like the biggest of them all. Like, and I was just like, there is no way I'm going into that. But he was like, but what's the point,
yeah.
of us not going on there? We paid for this. So I ended up going. Needless to say, yeah, it was scary, but it was so exciting. The fact that like he wanted to exhaust everything that was paid for. So when we get to the New Testament, we get to see this whole idea. Christ is unsearchable riches.
Right.
Like, the whole idea of like Paul praying, I want you to see, to get to know the height, the depth, the width, and the length of God's love. It's like,
mm-hmm.
so that's exactly why, like, it just leads us to that one question. Man, am I settling for too less of God?
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, you're free, but you're not free. Don't just camp at the border.
Right.
Like we said a couple of weeks ago. Just, man, you're free to also roam. Could it be that, like, maybe I'm stuck
mm-hmm.
with some of these sins because I'm not really roaming and exploring and being satisfied in everything He's provided for me? And then, obviously, like, my last challenge was that, man, like, maybe we're so... It's so easy to deconstruct a faith or to walk away and to do all those things because we're not really having to place ourselves, whether it's mortification of sin, putting our sin to death, or whether it's on mission. We don't place ourselves where we're so in over our head and we really need to depend on Him more.
Mm.
And I think those that like, which actually like those that are on the front line of actually like, man, putting their sin to death, on the front line of mission, on the front line of really, really kind of going forward, are the ones that really get to enjoy that communion even sweeter.
Mm.
Because they're reading scripture and they're saying, wow, God wants me to kill this sin.
Mm.
Unless you go forward and you try to do that very thing that is so impossible in your eyes, but you know God has called you to do, mm-hmm. but you have no idea how it's going to happen, like church planting, right? Like mission, like evangelizing, like unless you go forward, you will never know the sweet communion, which is what we see. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be with you till the ends of the age. Mm-hmm. Some of us have never really even tasted what that's like,
right.
because we've never gone. So anyway, that's my whole spiel. As in, like, I just feel like it's almost like him saying that, like, He set us free. The cross, it is finished. It is also a killing. It's a death of an era,
mm-hmm.
but it's also, what I said, it's a commencement
right.
of our enjoyment of God. And so, man, like, why are we kind of,
yeah.
you know, I would love to see that become a reality even in my own life,
mm-hmm.
that I just preoccupy myself with enjoying the righteousness that God has given me mm-hmm. instead of trying to actually, like, it's like He's so huge, but I'm trying to see my sin back behind Him yeah. again. I'm just like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah. dude. Put it to rest. It's behind Him.
Right.
So why are you obsessing over it when He said He's put it behind Him? You know?
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, that's that.
First of all, if you don't know what anthropomorphic is, yeah, you could Google it, or it's basically a human analogy, but it's really, you see it all through the Bible, because God is so inexplainable. We have to kind of liken it to, I explain that to my kids all the time. They're like, what does this mean? Like, especially in Revelation, when John sees Jesus, it's, you know, his feet aren't bronze. They're like bronze. And there's just no way to really explain it. So we have to relate it somehow. I really appreciate this sermon. Sorry, I'm a little out of it today. this sermon, and how it ties in also with the Free at Last, because, you know, over and over in our Free at Last, which we'll be resuming again soon, is, you know, we're not just freed from, we're freed for, and we're freed to. So I just love how over and over these, you know, echoes of Exodus keep echoing, and how it just ties together, and if the Israelites only knew, like, what they were offered and took advantage of it, and how much sweetness they would have gotten to enjoy instead of, you know, they kept on focusing back to their Egypt, their previous life, and they got stuck in their wilderness. So, I love how we didn't just take Easter and just leave it there. We're drawing it out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. That's awkward for a lot of people, but it's just like, I'm like, hey, we're late in May and we're still saying he's risen indeed. Like, which is good. I think we need an extended. It's a sustained. And the cool part is that, like, I think on the last day we're getting done with this is right around Pentecost, which is like, he is risen indeed. And now, so that's awesome.
Well, thank you, Raph. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for those who are listening. If you haven't heard the sermon, please go back and do so. If you know, every sermon's good. this series is really, if you struggle with sin, especially shame, this series is really good in having a biblical view of shame and identity. So please go back and listen to the series if you haven't heard it already. So my name is Gus Bird and Raphael Maganda. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed week.
A blessed week.